in to the book of Ephesians, and we'll start there. We'll read our opening text that we've been looking at here several times. And verse 11 says, once again, coming out of the end of verse 10, in whom, talking about Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen. So there is an inheritance that belongs to you and I. Yes. There are some things that came along with your salvation that Jesus left behind that we're supposed to be benefiting from. Now, it goes on down here to verse 13. It says, in whom you also trust, it's still talking about Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So this is telling us here that when we got born again, that the Holy Spirit moved into our spirits, and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse number 13 says, in whom, verse 14 rather, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, I like to read verse 14 from the Amplified Bible because it gives a fuller picture. It says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who you have been sealed with, who I've been sealed with, is the guarantee. Now, that's the word that I keep focusing on. The Holy Spirit is our guarantor on our inheritance. Now, it says that we've already received this inheritance. We've been predestinated to walk in this inheritance. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee on you walking in it. It says that he is the first fruit. He is the pledge. He is the foretaste. He is the down payment on our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption. And notice this, and our acquiring complete possession of it. So God's intention are for you and I to acquire complete and total possession of what we've inherited through Jesus Christ. Everything he died for belongs to you and I. We shouldn't leave anything on the table. This is why we're in this series dealing with learning how to listen to, be responsive to, and following the Spirit of God that's on the inside of each and every one of us. If we do not listen to the Holy Spirit, if we do not follow the Holy Spirit, there may be portions of your inheritance that you might not partake of. You might not be able to acquire the whole thing because it is the Holy Spirit who is guaranteed to make sure that you acquire complete possession of it. So that lets me know that I need his help. That should let you know that you need his help. Now, there is understanding that comes from the Word of God, and that understanding comes through by the Holy Spirit teaching you. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the great teacher. You don't understand Scripture without him. You can read the Bible by yourself for millenniums and still never come to the truth of what God is saying to you and I without the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. All right? So now let's get into this and let's look at a few things this morning. Let's go to the book of Colossians. And let's look at something here. Well, I'm being led back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's go back there. This is where we stopped at on last week. And I'm being led to go over this again, because this is the key. This is the key, the breakdown to everything that you have received in that inheritance. And this is the key to you acquiring complete possession of it. Now, verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, we looked on last week and we found out what that mystery was according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but to God. For how be it in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So it says here that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery when we pray in the Holy Ghost. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So there is wisdom that God has laid up for you and I, and it was always ordained before the foundations of the world unto your glory. That sounds a whole lot like being predestinated to something. So this wisdom must have something to do with your inheritance, with you acquiring complete possession of your inheritance. Now, verse 9 says, but as it is written, your natural eye has not seen, nor has your natural ear heard, neither has it entered into the consciousness of natural man the things that God has made and keeps in store for you and I. So trying to figure out God in our own mind and trying to follow God in our own effort, we're never going to acquire complete possession of what it is that we've inherited, because you can't see it. You can't know it. It's not even in your consciousness to understand it if you're trying to do it by your own will and your own power. But the very next verse explains to us on how we correct that, because the word but always changes everything that preceded it. So where your eye couldn't see and where your ear couldn't hear, but now he, God, has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So there is some revelation that you and I need in order for us to see, hear, and understand what God has invested in our lives. You know, God didn't leave you, didn't send you down here and put you down here by yourself. The Bible says that he has already supplied all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And in that supply is everything that we will ever need to succeed in life. But it has to be revealed to you by his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit which is in him? In other words, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but your spirit inside of you knows what's going on in your mind right now. You may sit there and you may smile and you may look like everything's going fine and everything is going well, but on the inside, you're tormented right now. I may not be able to tell that unless the Holy Ghost reveals it to me. I may not be able to tell that. But the real you, your spirit, knows all that's going on. And just like your spirit knows everything about you, it says, likewise, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So if I have God's Spirit who knows everything about God on the inside of me, then that means I know all things that God knows. And if I need that wisdom to come up on the inside of me, all I have to do is access it through the Spirit of God. You are not without answers to any issue in your life if you will learn how to shift into the Spirit and receive from him. Then he goes on and says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, and that's the spirit of bondage, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak. Now notice that. Which things we speak. So that lets me know that there's some speaking going to be involved in this. There are some words that are going to have to come from somewhere that is going to have to tie in to what the Spirit of God is teaching us to say. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. In other words, we're not talking or speaking out of the intellectual realm. We're not speaking and thinking out of the social media realm. But if you're going to tap into the inheritance that God has provided for you and I, we're going to have to learn how to speak out of the realm of the Spirit. And that can't be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you don't know what to say. He's going to have to give you what to say. That's why it says earlier, the things that we're going to speak when we speak the wisdom of God, speaking in tongues, then the Holy Spirit is giving you and I the ability to speak on the same level that God speaks on, the level of faith. So then he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in that the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The Amplified Bible for verse 13 says, and we are setting forth truths Words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with a spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. How many people here possess the Holy Spirit? Now, if you don't know, let me ask you this question. How many in here are born again? Then you possess the Holy Spirit. And that scripture just told me that the Spirit of God wants to give you spiritual languages that will cause you to be able to connect with spiritual things. All right. So there is what I like to call the language of the kingdom that all of God's people need to learn how to speak. When you first come into the kingdom of God, your language is opposite of the kingdom of God. It's no different than an individual coming from another country to the United States. They may not speak the language. It's foreign to them until they renew their minds and learn the new language. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to the kingdom of God. When you first get born again, your whole speech pattern is tied to the world. Every last single bit of it is tied to the curse-based system. But once you get born again, immediately the Holy Ghost goes to work in your life trying to reprogram you to learn how to use your mouth, your tongue, in line with the blessing instead of using it to curse yourself. Yeah. Amen? So there are truths that the Spirit of God wants to teach you and I, but you're not going to get them until you make the decision that what he's trying to teach you is important. Going to have to listen to him. Now let's go to the book of Colossians. There is absolutely no reason for us as the people of God to stay in the dark or to be in the dark all the time. Now you may come up against something that may cause you to be in the dark for a moment. Because you may not understand at the time, but you are not stay that way. Because you have all wisdom dwelling on the inside of you. Because you have the Spirit of God who knows God dwelling on the inside of you. Now look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9, I believe, is what we're going to look at here. For which cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, Paul is praying a prayer here that he received from the Spirit of God, and he wrote it down and penned it by the inspiration of God. And it's not there just for us to read. It's there for us to pray it too. And notice he says here, the prayer is, it's a desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Amen. God wants you and I filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, when you're talking about the will of God, you're talking about the word of God. So we can easily say here that God's desire is that we be filled with the knowledge of his word. You have to know the word of God if you're going to succeed. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his word. Notice, in all of its wisdom and all of its spiritual understanding. Verse 9 from the Amplified Bible for that latter half says that you may be filled with the full and clear knowledge of his word or his will in spiritual wisdom. Now notice this. And comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. God intends on you and I understanding his ways and his purposes. Don't you tell me that you are a born again individual and God did not intend on you knowing what he knows. He put it all in his book. Everything that we need to know about God is in this book. And this book is in your lap. And if you open up this book, it says he wants you filled with all the knowledge of it and all of its wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not only does he want you to know what it says, he wants you to understand it too. Then he goes on and says, now why? Why does he want this? Why does he want you to have a full, clear, deep understanding of his ways and his purposes? And it also says, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. You're supposed to understand spiritual things, people. Isn't that what it said in Corinthians? The Holy Spirit giving you words that's going to help you speak and interpret it and combining spiritual truth with spiritual languages and understanding of spiritual things. Amen. He wants you to understand how spiritual things work. Faith is a spiritual thing. Grace is a spiritual thing. Blessing is the spiritual thing. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, those are spiritual things. This word is a spiritual thing. He says he wants you to understand it. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So that you can walk or live in a way that pleases God. Now, what do we know about the Word of God when it comes to figuring out how to please God? He didn't lead it up for you and I to figure to try to come up with our own definition of what pleases God. See, but a lot of people think that, well, you know, if I cry, that pleases God. Well, if I pray 25 hours a day, that pleases God. Well, if I give all my money away, that pleases God. But no. And none of those things are bad, but that ain't what the Bible says pleases God. Because you can pray 25 hours a day and not be pleasing God. You can give all your money away and still not be pleasing God. So what did the scripture say that about us and how we please God? It's found in the book of Hebrews. It says, without what? Faith. It is impossible. Impossible. Now, when God says it's impossible, it's impossible. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, the scripture just said here that he wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will, of understanding of his purposes, understanding of his insights, so that you can live in a way that pleases him, or that your life may be a life of faith. That everything that you do would be done through by your faith. Now, when we say through by your faith, let's simplify that. That everything that you and I do, we do out of believing what God's word has said about how we're supposed to do it. That's what it means. When we're talking about faith, we're talking about what you believe about God. What did God say that you'll believe and act on? That's faith. So it says he wants us to live in a way that brings pleasure unto him. And we know that that's faith. That we may be fruitful in every good work, and that we would steadily increase in the knowledge of God. So not only does he want us to understand it, he wants us to increase in our understanding. So there are levels to your understanding. Everybody in this room is on a different understanding level. And that level is going to be based on the amount of time you've spent with the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Will determine the level that you're on. Now, if you don't like the level that you're on, you can always go to another one. I don't care how long you've been saved. God does not measure Christian maturity in the number of years you've been saved. People do that. I'm an elder in the church. Why? Because you've been here for a long time. No, that don't mean you're an elder in the church. You may be elderly in the church, but you're not an elder. The Bible tells you how he measures Christian maturity. Go and look it up. It says when you're able to talk. God measures Christian maturity by the words coming out of your mouth. Because an immature Christian still talks in line with the world and the system. But a person that is growing in deeper and fuller and clearer knowledge, their vocabulary begins to change. There's a shift, and you can hear it. So he says he wants you filled with this knowledge. He wants you to understand spiritual things. Now turn over to the second chapter. Let's look a little closer at this. Verse 2 says, that their heart may be comforted, being knitted together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, the Amplified Bible says for this, for my concern is that their heart may be braced as they are knitted together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessing of assured conviction of understanding, that you may have all the wealth and all the blessing that comes through your conviction of understanding. And that they may become progressively, notice the word progressively, not that they may in and out, up and down, know a little bit, don't know a little bit. No, that they may become progressively, more intimately acquainted with, that you would have a personal relationship, a personal interaction time with the Holy Spirit. That you may become progressively and more intimately acquainted with and may know more deeply and accurately through the majestic secret of God, which is Christ. That you may understand the anointed one and that you may understand the workings of his anointing. That's what he's saying here. How many people in here, now let's just be honest, how many people in here, your desire is to know God more? I mean, I want to know him a little, I want to know him more than what I know him right now. There's always more we can learn. Well, this scripture here says it's God's desire for you to know it too. Not just for you to know scripture, but to know God in an intimate way. Now, when we're talking about knowing God in an intimate way, that's like me knowing Quantrell. See, you know Quantrell when we're here at church. But you can't answer the intimate questions about Quantrell. I can. Why? I spend time there. I see her every day. I know her voice. I know how she thinks. I already know how Quantrell is going to function and respond to a certain thing. You may not, but I do. I know Quantrell better now than her brother and sister does. Yeah. Supposed to be that way. I've spent time. Now, they spend time too, but I've spent more time in the mature years than they have. How much time have you spent with God? See, God is not a respecter of person. He just doesn't give all the information to one person. God says that there are no hidden truth. That this Bible is open before everybody. There is no private interpretations for no one. Anybody that want to know can know. So that we may have this intimate relationship with him and that we may understand Christ. In Christ, all the treasures of divine wisdom, all comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God and all the riches of spirit of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. Everything we need to know about this life, the scripture just said, in Christ they have been stored up and they lie hidden. How do you get them out? I've read it for you in Corinthians when I said we pray in tongues. We pray the hidden mysteries or wisdom of God. You can pray it out. The anointed one and his anointing already dwells on the inside of you and I. We don't have to reach out here for nothing. All we need to do is turn and look inward and get into a place of prayer, pray in the Holy Ghost for a little while, and revelation will start coming. It'll start showing up. Why? Because God's desire is for you to know. He wants you to know what to do. God's not intending on you figuring it out on your own. How many of you, your children's in a serious problem, and you tell them, well, go figure it out. You don't do that. You try to give them the knowledge that you have. Well, what makes you think that God's going to say, well, that's your problem. Get on about here and figure it out. No, he's going to give you the knowledge that he has. And the knowledge that he has is far more vast than anything that you will find on the face of this earth. Because he knows the full spectrum of what's going on. And he knows the perfect solution to your problem. And he will give you a spiritual language that will combine with a spiritual truth that will produce a spiritual thing in your life to solve your problem. So now, there is understanding that comes through the Spirit. This is why we're on this subject. This is why I've asked the Lord, I don't want to move off of this until we see the fruit of it. Until you praying in tongues daily. Until revelation is coming daily. Until your questions are getting answered. Until you're knowing what to do. Until you come in here, glory to God, with praise reports about how you had an issue and God showed you what to do when you prayed in the Holy Ghost. And then it came to pass just like he showed you. That's what we're after, folks. We're not here because it's Sunday. That's not why we came to church. We're not here because it's the right thing to do. We're not here because the pastor asked you to come. We're here to plug into the Word of God so that we could have some seed to take back home so that the Holy Spirit can come in there and help cultivate in our lives. We're here to get some answers from the Lord so that we can take those things home and go to praying in the Holy Ghost over those revelations and those truths that are coming so God can begin to give us comprehensive insight into the way and the purpose of that thing. That's what we're after. So it says there's an intimacy that has to take place there. God is big enough for everybody to be able to be embraced by him. Now, as a father with four kids, each one of them I love, but each one of them that love manifests differently. It has to, because they don't all have the same personality. But that doesn't mean I love any of them any less. So you can't get upset when God responds to this one this way and that one that way and you this way. No, God understands you on an intimate level and he's responding to you in the way that you're designed. So quit looking like, well, I wish he would do me like he do them. No, you don't, because you may not be able to handle what he does for them. You want God to deal with you like he deals with you. You want God to talk to you on a level that you can understand what he's saying. Now, for Quantrell, it may be through dreams. For me, it may be when I'm driving down the street, he may just drop revelation in my mind. I can't say, well, Lord, I need for you to give me revelation in dreams. That's not how he deals with me. So I can't get, well, she's all spiritual because she's prophet. So what? You can be a prophet of your life, too. When you understand what prophecy truly is, you can prophesy to yourself. You don't need a prayer line for a prophecy. Prayer lines aren't where you get prophecies in the first place. Prophecies come from the Spirit of God revealing. And just like he can reveal it to a person, he can reveal it to you. He's the prophet. Not some person. So I can't get upset because of the anointing on you and how God deals with you and how you do things and jealous of and envious of how you do and how you do things. And this person over here, Paul says that right there shows me that you're still immature. Is there envy and bickering among you? Then you're still immature. Acting like a mere man is what he said. Somebody who still haven't been changed by the Spirit of God. So there's a wisdom that we need. Now let's look at the book of Ephesians once again, chapter 1. Some wisdom that you need. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you plug into that wisdom. You're actually praying the hidden wisdom of God. Now, the reason it's a mystery is because it hasn't been revealed to your physical senses just yet. But it can be. It will be if you'll stick with it. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, let's restart at verse 17. Here's another prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And God is saying that through the Holy Spirit, your spirit will become a spirit full of wisdom and revelation. That through the Holy Spirit, your spirit. Now, how is that possible? I already read to you. You've been sealed with him. He's in there with you. He wants a transfer to go on. He wants to allow what he's full of to fill you. Why? And how? Through the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Amplified Bible says that the eyes of your heart being flooded with light. That, now, your spirit, which is connected to the Holy Spirit, already has light. Your spirit's not trying to get straight. When you accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, your spirit is straight because your spirit now has been recreated by the Spirit of God and they're identical. They're the same thing. The Bible says we have the DNA of God, the makeup of God on the inside of us. So your spirit's not having a problem. Where do we understand? In your mind. So he's talking about a reprogramming of your mind with light, which is the word of God. That the eyes of your understanding, how you see and understand things, that your perception would be flooded with the revelation of this word. That's what he's saying. Now we're going to look a little bit more at that here in a second. So that you can know. He wants the eyes of your understanding flooded with light so that you can know what the hope of his calling is in your life. How many of you want to know exactly what God has called you unto? Because if you know, you will find your joyful place. He says that you may know the hope to which he's called you. That you may know the expectation that he has for you and allow that expectation to become your expectation. That's what I want. I want God's expectation for me. I don't want what I want for me because what I want for me may not be the best thing for me. But if I get God's expectation for my life, I have his perfect will and I know that everything I need is connected to his perfect will for my life. I will understand his ways and his purposes for me. That's what he's talking about here. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know what the riches of the glory of the inheritance is in you. That you may not just know you got something inherited, but that you may know, have an intimate understanding, that you may have a clear full knowledge of what he has invested in you through Jesus. And it's a lot, folks. You're not coming short in anything. God didn't hold back anything when it came to you. Every single thing you need to succeed, he's already made it, laid it up in store. We read it in Corinthians, it says, for those things, he says, but like your eye hasn't seen and your ear hasn't heard it, and it hasn't entered into your conscious mind, for those natural people who are trying to figure it out, they can't figure it out, they just can't make cross, the, they can't connect the dots. But when we've been revealed to through the Holy Spirit, then we're able to see the things that have been made and that are being kept ready for us. You're able to connect the dots. And Peter says that God, who cannot lie, has already laid these things up for you and I. Before the foundation of the world. So everything you need, you have. Everything you need to succeed in life, you have. Everything you need to succeed in life, you have right now on the inside of you. Remember the scripture Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. By that, he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. In those rivers are everything we need. Every single thing you need, you have. All you need now is for it to be revealed to you. You need some intimate understanding of his ways and of his purposes. You need some clear insight and discernment of spiritual things. That's all you need. It's not that you need God to do anything else. No, what you need now is for the Holy Spirit to reprogram your mind. But he can't do that without your participation. That's what we're needing. And that we will also know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Not only do you have some stuff that he has given to you, but through the inheritance comes some power. What do you need the power for? Because we got an enemy out there who's always trying to pop his head up in your life. And God wants you to have the power and the authority to deal with him and put him where he's supposed to be and keep him there. He wants you to know that. Well, what kind of power is it? It tells you. It's the same power that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power that he says he wants you to know about. Now, if it raised Jesus from the dead in the pit of hell, now what will it do for sickness and disease? What would it do to poverty and lack? What would it do to a demon and devil who's already been stripped of his authority? I mean, when you're talking about this scripture, you're talking about a God who is giving you over an abundance amount. You have so much power, you don't need all the power that you have available to you. You don't really even need to use. The devil doesn't require all that. You just speak a few words and he's done. That's how powerful we are. But you got to know that. You can't find any of that out without him. The full and deeper, clear insight into the ways and purposes of God and Christ, the anointed one, and that anointing. So there's power. Now, all that's going on in your spirit, there is a knowledge in here. There is power in here. There is potential in here. But the problem is that all of that power, all of that wisdom, all of that knowledge, all of that potential rises up and hits an unrenewed mind and can't go any further. It comes up. If you are born again, it comes up. How do I know? You will sit in church and you will get excited about God. You will get fired up about God, and that anointing get the moving in you, and that word get the moving in you, and you encourage. Oh, wait till I get out of here. But then when you get out of here and don't develop no root system, don't do any meditation of it, it hits that unrenewed mind on Tuesday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and all of a sudden I don't know if that's going to work. And you start backing away from it. Because that power is combating an unrenewed mind, a mind that has still not allowed the Spirit of God to reprogram it yet. Now look at James. Let's look at some of this. And for the sake of time, I just want to read it from the Amplified Bible. Look at verse 21, James 1, 21. It says, so get rid of all uncleanliness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. Now, here's how you get rid of it. In an humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your heart or in your spirit contains the power to save your soul. Where is the power to the saving of your mindset? It's in your spirit. When you allow the word of God through the spirit of God to rise up, it will renew your mind. The power to reprogram how you think will take place. That's the only reason that we're still seeing failure in our lives. It's because we haven't been we haven't allowed the spirit of God to reprogram our thinking in those areas. The younger you get started, the further along down the road you'll be when you get to our age. Well, you know, you got to wait till I got to wait till I get, I got to experience my life. I got to do a few things, you know, and I got to try some few things out, and then I'll get around to the word of God later. So then you just bump your head, live like hell, and all kind of sad and depressed stuff go on and get beat up on for a few years. And now all of a sudden, I guess I serve God now. Well, you could have missed all the beating that you took. And just figured out that, let me do what God said. Well, I don't understand it. Who cares what you understand? You don't have to understand something to do it. If everybody understood what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. If you truly understood what the cigarette did when you put it in your mouth and you took a drag on it, you wouldn't do it. If you clearly understood what that bottle of alcohol was doing to your liver, you and your kidneys, you wouldn't do it. If you really, truly understood what the drugs is really doing to your system, including weed that they say is harmless, you wouldn't do it. So don't tell me that you got to understand something before you can do it. When you're doing stuff every day that you don't understand. So it says it has the power to save your soul. But verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, not mere listeners to it, betraying yourself into a deception that is contrary to the truth. The word truth there means contrary to the word. If you're not going to do it, then it says that you are deceiving yourself. Satan's not even deceiving you. You are deceiving your own self. The Holy Spirit is talking to you, and everything he says, you pay it no attention. You keep on doing what you want to do, how you want to do it. The Bible says that you're living in a world of deception because you think that you're okay and you're not. Well, ain't nothing really going on wrong in my life. That does not mean that you're doing well or you're not doing well. The Bible says that while we look not at the things which are seen. So I can't judge how successful my life is based on what we can see. You're going to judge how your life is based on the amount of word of God that's in you and coming out of you. That's what you better look at. But when you don't pay attention to what the Spirit of God is trying to do, you don't spend any time praying the Holy Spirit. You don't spend any time reading the word, because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you the language of the kingdom. This is why you read your Bible. You read the Bible so that when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, you guys can have a spiritual, intellectual conversation. Isn't that what has to happen with your professor? When you go to college or any school, any class, any age, when you first enter into that particular grade, you may not understand the vocabulary that's going to go on in that particular level at that moment. But after you spend some time in that class, then you can begin to have a conversation. Why? Because now I understand what you're saying to me. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to have a conversation with you. But you can't understand what he's saying unto you if you don't understand what the word of God is saying. So if you haven't read some scripture and given yourself a basis for him to work with, it's going to be foreign to your ear. And your unrenewed mind is going to kick it out. It says, be doers of the word. And don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Now look at John chapter 8. I I'll say it again. There's understanding and revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now look at let's look at verse 43 first. Verse 43 says, just Jesus talking. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Verse 43 for the Amplified Bible says, why do you misunderstand what I'm saying? It is because you are unable to hear what I am saying. You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are shut to my teachings. You're not engaged. You're not engaged. There's absolutely no engagement at all on your part. So when the Holy Spirit is trying to conversate with you, you can't understand anything that he's saying. Nothing. Because he's not going to talk to you in the wisdom of man. He doesn't talk to you on what the world bases their conversation on, which is the curse. He's talking blessing. He's talking spiritual things. He's talking about things that are going to build and edify you and build and edify others. But when you haven't engaged him and you haven't engaged the word, when this conversation begins, it's hard for you to hear it. It's hard for you to understand it, and it's hard for you to receive it. Very hard. But up above, he explains the process of growing in your capacity to receive more knowledge. I've already read the scripture. He says he wants you to grow in the deeper and fuller knowledge of him. There is a way that that takes place, and he tells them. Verse 29 says, and as he sent me, Jesus talked about it, verse 28. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. So that's the first thing that you need to know, that he is the I am. And that I do nothing of myself. That's the second thing that you need to know. Stop doing your own thing. But as my Father has taught me, that's the third thing that you need to know. The Father will teach you. How did he teach Jesus? Through the Spirit. Then that's how he's going to teach you. And the fourth thing that you need to know, and I speak the things that he's teaching. So Jesus is the truth. First thing you need to know. Second thing, like I said, stop trying to do your own thing. Third thing, receive the teachings of the Father through by your Spirit, the Word of God, and then say those things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, well, he hasn't left you and I alone. And I do always those things that please him. In other words, Jesus says, I live by faith. That's how you and I are supposed to be living, by faith. Now, he said all of that, and then verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. So there was a level of knowledge and understanding that came based on those words, and they received and believed on it. But notice he didn't stop there. Verse 31. And Jesus knew what they believed and received. And this is why I believe that he put this in here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed. If you will continue to meditate in it, if you will continue to believe it, if you will continue to stick with it, if you will continue to engage it, then it will discipline you. That's what discipleship is. It's a discipline. Without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God working in you, the Word of God, there is no discipline in your life. This is why Christian people can live all kind of hellish ways in the church. Because they're undisciplined. This is why pastors can get in the pulpit and do all kind of crazy stuff. They're undisciplined. And they're undisciplined because they have yet to learn how to yield to the voice of the Spirit of God in their life. And it brings about an undiscipline. There's no restraint. Because he that causes restraint to show up in your life hasn't been given the permission to do that. Because there's another scripture says that the Holy Spirit causes men to obtain and be governed. So if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciple indeed. And notice verse 32. And then you will know the truth. Then you will have full, accurate, clear knowledge of the word of God. And that truth will be the truth that makes you free. God wants you free. But without the word, there is no freedom. Without the Spirit of God revealing to you what the word says, there is no freedom. He is so important to you and I. So important. He is our teacher. I know I keep referring to that. But let's see if we can find it. I think it's in John 14. Look at that. Let's see if we can find it. Yeah, John 14. Now look at a few scriptures here. Let's look at 15. If you love me, keep my word. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That he may abide with you forever, so that you're going to get a comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, who will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And this was a prophecy for us. And the Spirit of God now dwells with us, and he is now in us. Right? Amen. Is that true? Amen. All right. Now, come on, wake up. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He will teach you all things. He will educate you on everything, natural and spiritual. All things. It didn't just say that he would teach you all spiritual things. No. The Holy Spirit is in your life to make sure that your life mirrors God. So he's going to show you how to take the spiritual truth and the spiritual things and how to work those things over here in the realm of the physical and cause the physical to begin to be transfigured into looking like the spiritual. This is what we're talking about, spirit-led miracles and manifestations. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you to think on a higher level, to get you to pray on a higher level, to get you to understand on a higher level so that you can begin to live on a higher level. Because don't you realize the level that you're living on, you're living on the level that you have been educated to spiritually? None of us in here can live beyond the spiritual knowledge that you have. So wherever you are is an indication of your spiritual knowledge base. But it can increase. This is why you have no need of getting jealous of someone else and what they're getting through the Spirit of God and how their life is being transformed through the Spirit of God. Well, their knowledge base is growing. And when their knowledge base grows, they can see more. And when they can see more, they can say more. And when they can say more, they have more. That's the system. It has nothing to do with you came to church. It has nothing to do. Well, I don't understand how you blessing them and they just got saved last week. And I've been in the church for the last 15 years and I'm down here. I'm cleaning toilets. I'm cooking food. I'm vacuuming the floor and it don't seem like nothing ever happens for me. That's because you just down here doing some stuff. You haven't engaged with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, your knowledge level has not increased. And although he wants to, he can't. Because every time he gives you something spiritual to say, your natural unrenewed mind shoots it down. Amen. Believe for that business. I can't own a business. I don't know. Come on, believe me for $1,000. I don't know. Nobody gonna give me no money. Come on, you ain't got to be sick. I know what the doctor says. Believe me for healing. Well, there's pain in my back. Oh, my leg and thigh. See, every time he gives you something spiritual to say, you shoot it down. But that individual off the street come in here, hear the word of God, say, glory to God. Is that true? Absolutely. Well, be it unto me according to thy word. Boom. There it is. There it is. Why? Because they didn't struggle to receive. They wasn't down here laboring in religion. Nah, if the word says it, let's get going on. Come on, let's do it. Doggone it. The Bible says by his stripes I'm healed and I'm made whole. Did it say that, Pastor? Yep, there it is right there. Well, glory to God. I'm not getting ready to be sick. And they whip into shape and go on. You can do it. So now, so the Holy Spirit is the teacher. My job is to spark some interest in you. My job is to shine the light, to open the door for the light to shine so that the Holy Spirit can come in and make day dawn in your life. Now, St. John chapter 16. And I know we've looked at it, but let's look at it again. Verse 12. Jesus is talking here. Now, before I read verse 12, at this particular point, when Jesus said this, was the Holy Spirit indwelling men yet? No. The day of Pentecost has not happened yet. So the Holy Spirit is not dwelling on the inside of anybody just yet. Now notice what he says, verse 12. I yet have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. The Amplified Bible says, I have many things to say unto you, but you are not able to bear them or take them up on you or grasp them. In other words, you're not able to understand it just yet. It's not that you're not going to understand it. Right now, is you just can't get it yet. And there's a reason. Now, Jesus said, I got some stuff I want to tell you, but you can't understand it. Howbeit though, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Word, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into a clear and fuller and deeper intimate understanding of the word. So what you couldn't understand before he came, after he comes, you understand it. Why? Because he's the teacher. His job is to educate you and I on the things of the kingdom. His job is to make sure you understand the ways and the purposes and how to use spiritual things. That's his ministry. That's his ministry unto you and I. That's what he came for. That's like you going to the emergency room, laying on the table, and when the doctor comes in and says, well, we need to do this. No, I don't believe none of that stuff that you're saying. You don't know what you're talking about. That's what he got up out of his bed and came to the hospital for, to be able to diagnose and fix you. But if you lay there and tell him he don't know what he's talking about and not let him do what he came for, then what he came for, although the knowledge came with him when he came, it won't benefit you. And that's exactly what you're doing when the Holy Spirit shows up in your life. He came to give you revelation. But when you tell him, oh, that don't make sense. I just don't see how. Nah, that's dumb. Then although when the knowledge he brought, he can't give it to you because you won't receive it. Therefore, there will be no benefit unto you because you won't grasp it. Says he will lead and guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, The Amplified Bible says, he will not speak of himself on his authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father, that will he give unto you. The message that he hears from the Father, that will be the message that he gives unto you. Why is he doing that? Now, remember when we read a few weeks ago that we don't know how to pray as we ought? But the Holy Spirit will take hold together with us against the infirmity and would give unto us utterances that we don't understand. He's giving you the message that he's received from the Father. When you're in there praying in tongues, he's giving you the message from the Father, which is the wisdom that you need to get out of or to go forward or to advance in whatever it is that you're doing. He's giving you the message that he has searched out all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he's given you the ability to speak on God's level, which you couldn't do in your natural mind, but through the Spirit of God, he's giving you the ability to speak to this thing like God would speak to this thing. And if you'll speak to it like God would speak to it, then you'll begin to see it the way God sees it. And if you can see it the way God sees it, then you'll be and you will have it the way God has it. And then it says, and he will show you things to come in your future. He will give you. Why is he showing it to you? So that you can have something to say. So that you can stop saying the wrong things and start saying the right things. That you can quit talking about how broke you are and start talking about how blessed you are. And you can quit talking about how sick you are and start talking about how healthy you are. And you can stop talking about what you can't do and start saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. That you can quit talking about how everybody don't like you and everybody is against you and start saying, if he be for me, he is more than this world against me. That you can stop talking about, well, shit, I'm working so hard and I'm trying to get it done. And you can go from talking like that and go to saying, but by his grace, I am what I am. That you can change your vocabulary. Your vocabulary will not change until your understanding changes. When your mind is renewed, then your mouth will be renewed. And when your mouth is renewed, then your life will be renewed. That is spiritual law. That is spiritual law. We are all living the life that our mouths have painted for us. Every one of us in this room. You can say what you want to say about it, but you're living in the picture that your mouth spoke. Now, if your tongue has learned the vocabulary of the kingdom of God and you've learned how to say what the Holy Spirit tells you to say, then your life starts looking good after a while. It does. All of the fussing, complaining, nagging. You know, August the 7th, Quantrell and I was our anniversary. 22 years of being married. 22 years of being married. Not 12, not two. 22 years of being married to the same woman. 22 years and happy that I'm married to the same woman. Not she in her room, I'm in my room, and we don't know if we're going to get along. I'm talking about we're buddies. We do everything together. We go everywhere together. But it didn't start that way. Fussing, nagging, complaining, mumbling, and grumbling is all we did every day for about the first 5 years of our marriage. And all we ever saw was destruction, money missing, debt, sickness and disease popping its head up every now and then, losing jobs, no money, in debt, can't pay the bills, lights off, gas off, water off, and phone off, can't pay the rent, can't do nothing, barely eating, fussing, mumbling, and grumbling. Because neither one of us will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the moment we start listening to the Holy Spirit and start doing and saying what he told us to do and say, then it changed. It didn't change overnight. But in 22 years, when I turn around and look back, we have come a long way from where we were. And we didn't get there fussing and mumbling and grumbling and fighting each other. We made the decision we're going to stop fighting each other with our mouths, and let's put our words on the devil where they belong. Amen. And God started fixing it because our vocabulary changed. We stopped talking about what we couldn't do, what I hate about you, what gets on my nerves, and you stupid and you dumb, and I can't stand you, I wish I never married you, get out of my face. See, we quit saying all those things because all those things was doing was pushing us further and further and further and further apart. And if it hadn't have been checked, we would be out of each other's face and out of each other's lives by now, because that's what we were saying. That's what we were doing. That's how we were acting. But the Spirit of God, whose desire was always for us to enjoy life, that's what Jesus said in John 10 and 10. He's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But you can't have it abundantly until your mouth gets right. But your mouth won't get right until your mind get right. But your mind won't get right until you start allowing the Spirit of God through the Word of God to retrain you. And he has retrained us, and he is still training us, because although we've made it to this level, there's a whole nother dimension out there that we're stepping up into. We're going from just having enough now to now it's time to get on over to the more abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. It's time for us to take another step on over to the miraculous happen all the time. It's talking time to take a step on over from just having your need met to getting your desires granted. It's time. That's what it's time for. That's what we're after. That's the season that we're in. We're in the season for the miracles and manifestations of God to take place. God is ready to show himself strong in the lives of his people. When you look at the first century church, the beginning church, what drew men? What drew them to Jesus? What drew them to the apostles? It was the miracle working power of God. It was the manifestations of the Spirit of God working and confirming the word with signs following, and people wanted it. Because it was something different on them that they didn't have, but they figured if I could just get my hands on it, then maybe my life would be okay too. That's what we're here for. That's what we're wanting. A church full of spirit-led, tongue-talking, word-believing children of God, able to do whatever God tells you to do when he tells you to do it. That's what he's after. This is where we are. This is why I refuse to stop teaching what I'm teaching right now. This is where we got to be, folks. This is what we got to come up. There is a flow going on up here. There is a flow. The Holy Spirit is moving. Things are happening. Stuff's going on all over this world. Revival's breaking out. Miracles are going forth. Manifestation. You don't have to go to a big meeting to get a manifestation of God. You don't have to go to a woman down loose conference to get healed. You don't need Benny Hinn crusade to come through here. You don't need to go down to a Creflo Dollar meeting. You can create that environment in your own house right now. It should be happening every single time we get together. It should be happening every time you wake up, every moment you walking down the street, sitting at your desk. Miracles ought to be just going on around you all the time. Reach over there and lay hands on her. She's got diagnosed with cancer last week and she's feeling a little down. Reach over there and heal her. Boom, healing come on in there. You see that woman that came in here? She's all beat down. She wants to serve me and she's doing her best to get it, to try to get it, to get it together and get to the house of the Lord. But her car is jacked up. It's barely making it. It's on its last leg. I want you to buy her one. But Lord, I don't have a problem with buying her one. So I glory to God. If that's what you're telling me, I'll just go in my prayer closet and figure out what I need to do. Cause if you told me to do it, bless God. There's a manifestation coming and we're going to buy her a car. I said, you said, I can't buy her a car. Or getting jealous because he ain't gave you one first. But see, here's where you don't understand. If he told you to buy the car and gave you the seed for you to buy the car for, what he just did was manifest a seed that you could sow to give her the car. That it may have just been a little Hyundai that he gave you the money. And you bought her a little Hyundai. And it's a Bentley to her because it meets all of her need. But what you don't understand is when he ministered that seed to you, he just provided you with your seed for what you wanted. But see, you got jealous because he didn't give you one first. You don't understand the kingdom yet. God is always working on our behalf. Father, we thank you this morning. I thank you for your word. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. Bring us up. Bring us up in our thinking so that we can begin to see it the way you see it. So that we can begin to say it the way you said it. I pray and declare, Father, that the seeds are falling on good ground. And they're producing. They're producing right now signs and wonders. And things are going on and confirmation of what I'm teaching. There is a manifestation. There is a wave of manifestation approaching the people of God in this church. It's happening right now in Jesus' name. I speak it. It's happening right now. There is a wave of manifestation. There is a wave of the glory of God. There is a wave of supernatural Holy Ghost manifestations coming in this place to the people of God. And I speak it and I declare it and I say it out of my mouth right now in Jesus' name. I believe I receive it according to Mark chapter 11, verse 24, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray them, believe you receive them and you have them. Well, Father, I believe it and I expect to see it in the name of Jesus. Because I'll say it. Thank you.